You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. Despite the wet weather we've been experiencing, Washington's snowpack remains at just over half of normal. And climate observers say conditions are likely to get worse. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
This winter has been one of our warmest and driest on record.
October through February was the third warmest start to the water year on record in Washington. And those records are long. They go back to 1895.
Karen Bumbacco is Washington's deputy state climatologist. She says the warm temperatures meant precipitation in the mountains falling as rain, not snow. Even after the turnaround this past week, the snowpack is still at about 61% of normal. Meanwhile, the Climate Prediction Center issued an El Niño watch and a seasonal outlook for May through April.
They're expecting higher chances of above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. And so, yes, that's even before this El Niño will kick in.
The watch indicates that El Niño conditions could take hold as soon as this summer, meaning more warmer than normal temperatures, followed by another drier than normal winter. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
Climatologists say this all means we can expect lower stream flows, potential stress on water supplies, and increased risk of wildfires. It's been about a decade since a major marine heat wave off the West Coast dissipated. It stuck around for nearly 3 years and was referred to by scientists as the blob. Since then, they've observed smaller heat waves that have raised water temperatures off the West Coast almost every year. Research oceanographer Andrew Lysing runs the Marine Heatwave Tracker website for NOAA Fisheries. He says this year they've been watching a marine heatwave that was even larger than the blob.
It actually has backed off a little bit from Washington. So Washington is back to around normal temperatures, but that's just within the last couple days. So up until about a week ago, it was still 1 to 2 degrees above normal. Oregon still looks like it's a little bit warmer than normal.
Seasonal upwelling of cooler water typically pushes the heat offshore. Lysing says it's still persisting along the coast of California, where surfers report more pleasant water temperatures. But marine heat can lead to harmful algal blooms that make shellfish poisonous, reduce seafood production, and can kill marine mammals. It can also cause atmospheric systems that lock in the heat and can lead to more intense atmospheric rivers and storms. One of Seattle's oldest businesses is also one of its biggest polluters. The Ash Grove Cement Plant is hard to miss if you ever go over the West Seattle Bridge. Every day, the plant burns natural gas and thousands of old tires for fuel. Some neighbors are fighting the plant's push to burn more tires. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The Ash Grove Cement Plant has been on the banks of the Duwamish River for nearly a century. In recent years, community groups in the area have been clashing with the plant over its air pollution. Late last year, the Duwamish River Community Coalition protested outside the offices of the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency. The Duwamish Valley has some of the region's highest rates of childhood asthma and some of the worst air pollution. The activists were hoping to influence the agency's decision on a permit to let Ash Grove increase its tire burning. To heat up its cement kiln, the plant burns natural gas and more than 1 million tires a year. The protest targeted the company's request to use tires for more than a third of its fuel. Mia Ayala Marshall is with the Duwamish Coalition.
Tires, we know, are bad for the air pollution. It can emit toxic pollutants like dioxins and furans and mercury, which are really bad for human health. They are cancerous, can cause respiratory and cardiovascular issues.
The air agency in December gave Ash Grove permission to boost its tire burning. The agency found that burning tires at the very high temperatures found inside a cement kiln would not increase pollution. Environmentalists appealed that decision in January. I requested interviews with the Clean Air Agency, but they said they're not allowed to do that while an agency decision is being appealed. So then I tried to go straight to the source of the pollution. I'm outside the Ash Grove Cement Plant in the Duwamish Valley. If you've ever been on the West Seattle Bridge, you've probably seen its concrete domes and silos and its massive kiln. That kiln spins on its side like a giant rolling pin, except it's 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit inside.
The company declined repeated requests for a tour of the plant and an interview.
Ash Grove spokesperson Carolina Lucaroni did respond in writing to some written questions. Lucaroni says burning tires keeps them from being dumped or exported to developing countries. And she says using tires as fuel lets the plant burn less natural gas and contribute less to climate change. Cement is essential for all kinds of construction. The cement industry is also one of the most harmful for the climate. It causes at least 5% of worldwide carbon emissions.
The Ash Grove plant behind me is the largest single source of planet heating pollution in King County. It's also the largest source of gases that harm human health, like nitrogen oxides, carbon monoxide, and ammonia. It's the number two source of particulates and sulfur dioxide after the Ardagh glass plant, just a mile from here.
The Duwamish Valley experiences cumulative pollution from both international airports, the railroads, the ports, as well as any number of industries that operate. And so any increase in emissions in a community that's already overburdened by air pollution is unacceptable.
That was Mia Ayala Marshall with the Duwamish River Community Coalition. The Ash Grove plant is currently operating under a pollution permit from 20 years ago. The Clean Air Agency is proposing to update that permit to meet newer federal standards. It has also required Ash Grove to test its emissions for particulates, dioxins, and heavy metals, including arsenic and lead, to make sure the increased tire burning isn't making Duwamish Valley air dirtier. A hearing on the environmental group's appeal to make Ash Grove burn fewer tires isn't expected until next year. I'm John Ryan reporting.
As the Trump administration intensifies its immigration crackdown, the impact is reaching far beyond the border. Northwest News Network reporter Johanna Bejarano explains how these policy shifts are creating a state of limbo for people who are following a legal process in the Pacific Northwest. That includes those who are nearly U.S. citizens.
Tenemos la doctora Consuelo.
In the Yakima Valley, Sofia Acosta, legal services manager with La Casa Hogar, gives a tour of their legal clinic.
Si tienen preguntas de la ciudadanía, ¿verdad? No saben si aplicar, los animamos a que vengan a una consulta aquí con nuestro equipo. Ya saben, en Perry Tech, La Casa Hogar.
If you don't know how to apply for citizenship, you have questions about applying, we can help you here, she says. People interested in applying for citizenship walk through the door to learn more.
Los esperamos.
Becoming a citizen in the U.S. is a years-long process. First, you have to have your green card. Then, you have to do a background check, take an exam, and pass an interview. But this year, she says, would-be citizens are dealing with even more challenges. Canceled naturalization ceremonies.
We did have a good amount that were canceled, which is alarming for us.
She says 18 ceremonies that were scheduled for January and February were canceled. Four have since been rescheduled.
We followed up and called USCIS for a good amount of these cases, and they said, no, they're still on the wait list to get their appointment for their ceremony. It was just an internal issue.
She says it's not something she's seen happen before.
Not this amount ever. Maybe here like one or two, either because of the weather, cause of cancellation, or maybe some other factor, but never this many. This is definitely unprecedented.
For 74-year-old Avelino Gonzalez, December 12th was supposed to be the day he finally became an American citizen. Gonzalez is from Cuba, but has called the U.S. home since 1996. His naturalization ceremony was scheduled in Yakima, Washington. But the day before the event, his lawyer gave him the news. The ceremony was canceled.
It was as if I'd been splashed by a bucket of cold water.
His lawyer, Eilish Villamalon, with Central Washington Legal Aid, says there was no formal letter or explanation from U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Months later, it has still not been rescheduled.
Really, all you can do is wait. There's no kind of appeal process right now because the ceremony has just been canceled.
Gonzalez says he feels canceling his ceremony is unfair.
Bastante injusto, según tengo entendido.
It's quite unfair. I can't wrap my head around it, but we have to adapt to the system and follow the orders we're given.
Villamalón says being from Cuba might have played a part. It's on a list of dozens of countries the Trump administration deemed high risk.
Those folks' process basically are being stopped. So not just for citizenship, but also for work permits or green cards or for asylum process.
But Sofia Acosta at La Casa Hogar says the ceremonies she's seen canceled involve individuals of Mexican nationality. Mexico is not on that list. In a written statement, USCIS spokesperson Matthew Trageser said the previous administration was, quote, rubber stamping applications. He says the agency is now doing a more rigorous vetting process. I'm Johanna Bejarano reporting.
This is local and regional news on KMUN. Not every teenager wants to spend their Saturday in the middle of an Oregon forest. No cell service, no bathroom, trudging through mud and debris. But a group of student volunteers was happy to do exactly that late last month. As Natalie Pate reports, they were helping to plant 1,200 new willow trees in the Coast Range outside Philomath.
To the untrained eye, the restoration area along Shot Pouch Creek is a mess. A tangle of downed trees litters the tributary. There's moss and twigs everywhere. Rubber boots squelch through thick mud and running water. But to the ecologists and student volunteers here, this is an intentional masterpiece and an opportunity for fun.
It was like if I was a little kid playing on a play structure again. I just like climbing around on the logs.
That's Sullivan Montforth, an 11th grader from Corvallis High School. For 3 years, he's been part of the group doing restoration efforts like this.
I'm not involved in any sports, so I was just looking for something to do. It seemed fun.
The group is called the Youth Watershed Council. It's a program led by the Marys River Watershed Council and began in 2021. The program packs a 1-2 punch. Not only does it give students volunteer hours and hands-on learning opportunities, but the work itself actively and tangibly improves their community. For the last 3 years, participating students like Montforth have helped restore the environment alongside this creek.
I get to see places that I wouldn't normally, like here, do things that I wouldn't normally. I like being outdoors and I like helping out, so it's kind of a good fit.
Education Program Director Nina Dominici says younger generations feel a lot of pressure to fix today's environmental problems.
You know, they hear a lot about climate change and it can feel overwhelming, but this is like this space of hope that we're working within to make a difference in this corner of the world.
Humans like things to be in order, but Mother Nature thrives on mess and complexity. That's what students are helping to bring back through their work at Shot Pouch Creek. Dominici says the idea is to bring the land closer to its original ecology, what it would have been like before colonization.
Hopefully eventually the beavers will find that and it'll give them a new... We got the work started, but they're better engineers than we are, so...
First, build beaver dams to help slow and spread out the water to get the ground wet. Next, cut down the alder trees. They're already aging out, they block too much sun, and they don't like wetter ground.
It might seem small, like, or counterintuitive at times, like you're chopping down alder trees. Why would you chop down trees if you're trying to improve the ecosystem?
That's Philomath High School senior Caitlin Mesta. She's here to help in the final phase. With all those alder trees gone, the student volunteers had to replace that shade with something a bit more friendly to the beavers. Willow trees.
We're speeding up a natural process that would have happened by planting these willow trees afterwards and giving the soil a chance to get the nutrients from these trees to improve the quality and make it so that the plants can grow even healthier.
Mesta has been involved with the Youth Council for about a year. She learned about it from her AP environmental science teacher. She loves being in nature, and as she put it, climate change doesn't seem to be going away on its own.
It matters. It really matters what we do.
She smiles, remembering her favorite outing, where they caught a highly invasive species of bullfrogs.
They have a specific call they do that sounds almost like a fart. So you'd go to try to catch them and they'd fart at you as they jump away.
Mesta says she likes seeing the direct improvements she's made to the environment through her work.
Really, it's beautiful, and some of these animals are dying out, and that was because of things humans have done. And if we can try to right that, I think that it's really important to do so.
One day, the willow branches she and her peers planted this winter will be big, towering trees, filling the forest. In the Oregon Coast Range, outside Philomath, I'm Natalie Pate, reporting.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Department. If you have a news tip or story idea, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. We are nearing the end of our spring pledge drive here at KMUN. If you haven't donated yet and become a member of the station, there is plenty of time. Give us a call at 503-325-0010, or you can go online to kmun.org and click on the red donate button. Donating makes you a member, and it's a cliche at this point, but I've also heard it makes the radio sound better. Of course, the station is here for you free of charge, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But if you have been a longtime listener and you feel like you've really gotten something out of listening to KMUN, please do consider giving us some of your hard-earned cash and help support us into the future. We do rely very heavily on donations, even more so as we have seen federal cuts to money that used to come to community radio stations like ours. Again, 503-325-0010 or go to kmun.org. Thanks for listening.